Good morning. My name's Scott. G'day if I don't know you. It's great to be here as God's people this morning and to be able to gather around God's Word. Well, as Brian's informed us this morning, we're looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but most people have a lot of questions about this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We might ask, what is it? What does it look like? What does it feel like? When does it happen? What does it mean? Does it still happen today? Or did it only happen in the past? Should it happen to me? And are there two different types of Christians, two classes, those who have been baptized by the Spirit and those who haven't been baptized by the Spirit? And finally, we might ask ourselves, does it really matter anyway? Is baptism of the Spirit a big deal? Well, like any doctrine, we need to look to the Bible for our understanding on this issue. Okay, we might stop. There are some outlines coming around, so just make sure you've got your hands on an outline. Sorry they didn't make them into the bulletin, but stick your hand up if you haven't got one. Thanks, Sarah and Brian. Well, this morning, I'm going to try and convince you that baptism in the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential for every Christian. Now, this is the backbone of the message this morning, that being baptized with the Spirit is absolutely essential for every believer for four reasons. Being baptized with the Spirit is essential for our salvation, for our adoption, for our hope, and for our unity. And so on the flip side, without receiving baptism with the Spirit, we do not have salvation, but we're in our sins. If we haven't received a baptism of the Spirit, we are not adopted, but we are orphans. We would be without hope and hopeless. And without receiving the baptism of the Spirit, we would not be united in Christ's body, but we would be separate and dismembered. So first, our first point there is that being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for salvation from sin and death. So please look with me at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be looking at a few different passages this morning, and I'll get different people to read them out. Now, baptism with the Spirit is the lasting washing, renewal, and indwelling of a person by the Holy Spirit at the moment of their conversion to faith in Christ. This isn't a separate subsequent event. It's not separate to conversion, but it is one and the same thing. Now, in the Bible, there are seven explicit references to baptism with the Spirit, and four of them are all about the same event, which is what we're going to look at now. So can I please get someone to volunteer to read Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 to 14? Thanks, Neil. And verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Well, what's going on here? John's out in the wilderness. He's baptizing people in the Jordan River. And he's preaching about a more powerful person who is to come after him. And this one day, that more powerful person comes. John's there and Jesus shows up and Jesus says, John, I'm here for you to baptize me. Well, how does John respond? John's indignant. You come to me? You are infinitely more powerful than I am. You're the powerful one that I've been speaking of. I mean, I can only baptize with water, but you, Jesus, you baptize with the Holy Spirit. Me? Baptize you? I mean, I'm baptizing people for the repentance of their sins, and you don't even have any sins to be repentant of. why do you want me to baptize you when I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you? He says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Now, John's a prophet. John is preparing the way for Jesus. He knows exactly who he is. John knows that Jesus has the power to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he knows that he himself needs to receive this baptism. But why? Why does John need it? And what is this baptism with the Spirit? Well, if we read carefully at verse 11, we'll learn something vital about baptism with the Spirit. Look with me at the first sentence in verse 11. John says to the people, I baptize you with water for repentance. Now, the baptism that John gives is for those who turn from their rebellion against God, turn towards God, sorry for rebelling against him. And this baptism of John is but a shadow of the things to come. It's a symbol of the baptism that is to come. It's a symbol of the baptism that Jesus gives, the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism in the Spirit is a baptism for repentance. It is the inward washing and renewal and initiation into salvation. It happens when we turn from rebelling against God, when we are repentant, and we follow Christ as Lord. Now, I want to be really clear about this. We're going to look at a few more passages that highlight this. But baptism with the Spirit, I want us to see that that is hand in hand with conversion and repentance in Christ Jesus. These happen simultaneously, and therefore every true Christian, everyone who has truly been repentant and accepted the gospel, has been baptized in the Holy Spirit at their conversion. So let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We'll see this further. Can I have a volunteer to read verses 15 to 18? Thanks, Iris. Thanks, Iris. Well, here, Peter is in Jerusalem and he's talking to the church leaders about how the Gentiles in Caesarea received the baptism of the Spirit. Peter says that when he was there, he preached the gospel to them. And as he's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, he's preaching the message of the death and resurrection of Christ, his glory and the grace that he offers. The Holy Spirit comes upon these Gentiles, just as it had the Jewish Christians when they're in Pentecost. He sees the Holy Spirit in them and he remembers. He remembers what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Peter realizes that these Gentiles, these non-Jews in Caesarea, have been baptized with the Spirit. But do you notice that Peter and the church leaders, they don't just stop there. They don't just say, okay, they've got the baptism of the Spirit. Good. They realize that the significance of it is deeper. What do they conclude? Look at verse 18, the second half of verse 18. The church leaders say in response to what's happened, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. You see, the significance of the fact that the Gentiles have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that God has granted them repentance to life. The baptism shows that they have been repentant. This has happened at the same time. They've responded to the gospel that Peter has preached to them, and they've been repentant, and they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They're simultaneous, they're linked, and it's an immediate component of their salvation. So, being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our salvation. It's all about initiation and incorporation into Christ's kingdom. The baptism with the Spirit washes, regenerates, and brings new birth. Now, some people might argue otherwise. There are a lot of people who will claim that there is a separate event. Baptism in the Spirit is separate to conversion and being filled with the Spirit. But seeing as this is the most important point, we're going to look at two more passages before we move on to our next point. So please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39. Have a volunteer. Thanks, Hannah. Now, Peter is preaching to the crowds at Pentecost, just after the Jewish disciples have been filled and baptized with the Spirit. And he doesn't use the terminology of baptism with the Spirit, but because he's explaining what's just happened, the context makes it clear that it's the same thing that he's talking about. And here too, we see Peter linking baptism with the Spirit with repentance. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in case you're not sure, he says, "This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." It is not a secondary event, it is part of our conversion. Now, I hope you're convinced. Are we getting there? If you're not convinced yet, we're going to look at one more passage before we move on to hope. Please turn to Titus, the book of Titus. It's towards the end of your Bibles. You look for the five T's. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 5 and 6 for me. Thank you, Julia. Thanks, Julia. Well, I hope you can see this pretty much sums up this whole first point. We are saved, how? We are saved through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He, God, poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Now look how rich the baptism language is here. Washing, rebirth, renewal, Spirit poured out. Baptism in the Spirit is how we are saved. Baptism in the Spirit comes with repentance at conversion. Therefore, being baptized with the Spirit is absolutely essential for our salvation. Now, I'd like us to stop here, and I'd like you to consider that if you have never experienced true conviction in the gospel of Christ, if you've never come to the conviction that you are sinful before God, you've never been brought to true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, well then you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, and then I'm afraid that you haven't been saved from the consequences of your sin and rebellion against God. So firstly, being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our salvation. And our second point is that receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential for our adoption into God's family. Please turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll start at verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another paraclete, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." The Counselor is to come. The Paraclete is to come. The Holy Spirit. Jesus promises that he will be in you. This makes it clear that Jesus is talking about baptism with the Spirit. But why? Why does the Spirit come? Jesus says, it's because he will not leave us as orphans. "I will not leave you as orphans," Jesus says. Jesus sends the Spirit so that we will realize that Jesus is in the Father, that we are in Jesus, and that Jesus is in us. So through baptism with the Spirit, we are not left as orphans. Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now the implications of these few verses brought me to tears this week. Can I please have someone to read Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16? Thanks, Angus. Thanks, Angus. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you again a slave to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Well, just like the child who doesn't need to fear when they're held in their daddy's strong arms, we need not fear because the baptism with the Spirit that we have received has incorporated us into the family of God, has made us sons. We've received the Spirit of sonship, and we are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Well, let me tell you about how this has impacted me this week. A day or two, I can't exactly remember, just before I started studying for this sermon, I think I was in college chapel, and we were either singing a song or reading a creed. But it had the words where we called Jesus, "my brother, my brother." And when we came to these words, I read them and I felt really uncomfortable. I didn't feel like I could call Jesus my brother. I'm not worthy to call Jesus my brother. He is God. He is perfect. How can I call Jesus my brother? And I was thinking about this later, about how uncomfortable I felt. I thought, well, Jesus calls me brother. Jesus calls us brother. Why do I feel uncomfortable? And then I came across this passage. "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship." And it brought me to tears that God would make me his son. I am so sinful, and he would make me his son. I can call God my father, and I can call Jesus my brother. We have received the spirit of sonship. Through this baptism with the Spirit, we have been adopted into God's family. Now, it's also important to remember that we've received the same Spirit that Jesus received when he was baptized. And just as God declared when Jesus was baptized and filled with the Spirit, "You are my beloved Son, I take delight in you." We too have that very same spirit of sonship, so that God can truly say to us, "You are my beloved Son, I take delight in you. You are my beloved daughter, I take delight in you." We can cry out, "Abba, Father." By the baptism with the Spirit, we know that our Father is holding us. What an incredible miracle and a joy this is. So one, being baptized with the Spirit is essential for salvation. And two, being baptized with the Spirit is essential for our adoption into God's family. Thirdly, being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our hope for the future. We're still in Romans 8. I'd like someone to read verses 23 to 25. Thanks. Thanks, Lucille. "We who have the first fruits of the Spirit wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved." Those who have received the Spirit, who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, have the foretaste of what is to come. We eagerly wait for our adoption as sons and daughters. Now, as we've just learned, it's not that we're not sons and daughters and we're waiting for that to happen, but because we're waiting for the final fulfillment of what it means to be sons and daughters of God. We're waiting for the final fulfillment, the bodily resurrection, the redemption of our bodies. The Spirit in us now is the first fruits. It's the taste of what's to come. We've been adopted now, but we wait for the full harvest. We live in the now, but the not yet. We have the promises now, but they have not yet been reached final fulfillment. And we wait till the day when we will take full possession of the inheritance to which we're entitled. We wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now, sometimes I think we think that when we die and we go to be with God in heaven, now, that we'll be less human than we are now. But here we're reminded that we won't lose anything. We will only gain. This is an image of our bodies being destroyed and us just floating around on a cloud like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Our bodies will be redeemed. We wait for the redemption of our bodies. This is the hope in which we are saved. We'll be more human than we've ever been before. We were made in God's image, but now we are, by sin, that image has been marred and muddied. But we will be redeemed, a new creation, recreated as spiritual bodies, overtaken by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. And friends, this is the hope into which we are saved. If we were not to be redeemed, if we were not to be resurrected, we were to be pitied above all men, says the Apostle Paul. There would be no hope and no point. But it's only through the baptism with the Spirit that we have hope for the future. So being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our salvation. It is essential for our adoption. It is essential for our hope for the future. And finally, being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for unity. Please turn to our final passage for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I volunteer to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. Thanks, Russell. Thanks, Russell. Well, Paul clearly claims here that all believers, all Christians, have been baptized with the Spirit into one body. Everybody who has believed and repented and turned to God has been baptized with the Spirit. And this baptism brings us into glorious fellowship. It brings us together as the body of Christ. With Christ as our head, we work together. It doesn't matter if we're Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, slaves or free, we are all incorporated into the one body through baptism with the Spirit. Without being baptized with the Spirit, we would be a disembodied mess of body parts. So friends, I hope you can see that being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our unity. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our salvation. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our adoption. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our hope for the future. And being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential for our unity. Well, friends, I want to finish by asking you, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Have you experienced the joy of salvation, of adoption into God's family, of hope for the future, of unity with the body of Christ? It's essential that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have sent your Spirit, that you freely baptize with the Spirit all who in repentance turn to you and trust in the goodness and of the gospel and your promises in there. We thank you that through baptism with the Spirit, we are saved from the consequences of our sin and our rebellion from you. We praise you that through the baptism with the Spirit, we are adopted into your family as your sons and daughters. We praise you that through baptism with your Spirit, we have hope for the future and the redemption and the resurrection of our bodies, just as Christ was raised. And Heavenly Father, we praise you that through baptism with the Spirit, we are brought into unity as the body of Christ. Amen.